Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, I see a meme out on the internet now that it's a fairy tale that there's eugenics going on. That it's a fairy tale that cancer rates are way up and neurological disorders. And they're trying to take hatred of Israel and then connect it to me and say my eugenics thing is trying to cover up for Israel. What does that even mean? It's like when I made a film about Israel attacking the USS Liberty to blame it on Egypt. All these big Nazi groups and others came out and said I was covering up for Israel because I pointed out that traitor LBJ was involved, because that's what all the admirals I interviewed and the first mate and all them said. It was like, no, America wasn't involved. You're now covering up for Israel. And I'm like, no, there's two bank robbers. I'm not covering up for one of them to say, and this guy was involved too. But that isn't what matters. I just read that. And it's like it's a total pipe dream. I mean, it's true that I don't hate Israel and think about it constantly and obsessed with it and worship it from a hateful position. I understand there's evil and evil systems in control basically everywhere. And it's just crazy. I'm covering eugenics. And then people are like, there's no eugenics going on. None of that's happening. You work for Israel. And there's just no connection to reality. And whereas I don't like a lot of things Israel's doing, I don't like the people that hate Israel either. I mean, can't you get that? It's like rabid crowds of people who are like in their gang, and then they want you to choose a side in their gang fight. And I'm just like, hey, mutual aggression, truce, as long as you don't do harm to anybody, do whatever you want. You want to go blow your brains out? Go ahead. I don't think you should, but go ahead. It's your right. You want to smoke marijuana and sit in your mother's basement eating Hot Pockets all day? Hey, I don't want cops pulling me over asking to search my car because you want to blast your brain. And I know it's got all the great medical uses and stuff, but I do know a lot of potheads on top of it. It does have its downside. My point is that I want freedom. I want Team Humanity to succeed. And the globalists, the social controllers, the crony capitalists use this tribalism, this divide and conquer to get us fighting with each other. That's why NBC and MSNBC edited the Zimmerman tapes in the Trayvon Martin case to make it sound like he's a racist. That's why they have the feds now admit in the Justice Department inside the protest groups, including the new Black Panther Party, saying, I want Florida burning, start killing whitey. And now all over the country, I read the articles earlier, white people are just for no reason being beaten in racial attacks at parks and fairs and events. Old women, you name it. And the government wants a race war. Meanwhile, your banker bailout money paid to move not one, not two, but three new factories to China. The 20-plus billion bailout to General Motors paid to ship it to Brazil. Paid to ship it to China, paid to ship it to Eastern Europe, and another expansion of facilities, so it's actually more than four factories, with your money, 20-plus billion of it. You paid to have the government take over General Motors and ship it to China. If General Motors wants to move to China, that's great. There shouldn't be tax incentives. It should be a level playing field. See, that's what globalism, Agenda 21, New World Order is. That's why this book by Rosa Corey, available at Infowars.com, is so important, Behind the Green Mask. Give it to every city council member, every county commissioner, every sheriff you know, because then everything going on around them, they'll discover this. We're starting to get city councils, even in Houston, bringing this up and blocking stuff. The new film we're carrying, Farmageddon, breaks down the harassment. Big Agra funds government to shut down the little farms. That's what it is. France is going into deeper socialism as the answer to socialism wrecking their country. That's the big danger. Lou Rockwell, straight ahead, LouRockwell.com, to break it all down. It's going to be a jam-packed interview. You'll want to stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Lou Rockwell is our guest. He's the founder of the Von Mises Institute. He also served as Ron Paul's chief of staff in his first stint in Congress. And he also helped write many of those great newsletters on top of it. And, of course, he's a prolific writer today at lourockwell.com. And I always find it informative to get him on with us. And I appreciate him spending the next 52 minutes with us here today. We'll also intersperse some of your phone calls for people that are patiently holding. I would just add that we have breaking news. Our sources say that it's about a 95% probability, and it is booked out, and they've met there twice before. Chantilly, Virginia, Builder Stinkers are to meet there, and the Washington Post even admits that they are to pick the vice president. So now they've gone from denying it exists to admitting that they basically are going to pick Mitt Romney's vice president. They said that last week. They said, oh, he's going to a Bilderberg steering meeting down in South America while Obama's there, Rubio is, to build his international cred and meet with some Bilderberg people. What? So now we've gone from it doesn't exist to it's out in the open. I want to bring this up first to Lou Rockwell. Then we'll get into whatever's most important on his radar. And then I want to get into all the crazy bills where the IRS, outside of a jury or court, says you can't travel right out of Soviet Russia, right out of Stalinism. We've got the announcements of drones, satellites watching us, carbon taxes. Forbes magazine writer says burn down people's houses if they don't agree to carbon taxes. I feel like a liar when I say that. It's so over the top, but he said it. I mean, these people, you know, Lou, I think the authoritarians know the worm is turning and they're starting to act like chickens with their heads cut off. What do you think about all this?
Well, they're the worm. We're not the worm. But sure, I think people are beginning to wake up. I think right after 9/11, I must say I was concerned that, we were going to get much more of a totalitarian state. I was right in that, but I was concerned that people wouldn't really be resisting it. But I think there is more and more resistance, especially among the young. We see it in the Ron Paul campaign when he gets 8,000 students coming out to talk to him at UCLA, kids hanging in trees, climbing up in trees and staying there for hours just to watch him. We can tell there's an intellectual revolution going on among the young and, of course, among those of us who are not young as well. There's, I think, more and more knowledge of what's happening, more and more anger at what's going on, more and more worry, and more determination to do something about it. And this is the key. If people will withdraw their consent from the government, from the establishment, from the whole regime, and not play ball, then they can't actually do it. They can't actually work their dastardly deeds against us.
Well, you're right. We're trotting on their tyranny now. They're trying to break our will, and so they're trying to lash out. Their worm is turning, to go back to the old Shakespeare quote. What do you make of them trying to set up internal checkpoints and saying the IRS will take your passport away? The passport is the proof of the citizenship. The Supreme Court has ruled over and over again, you cannot revoke citizenship. It must be freely given up.
Well, I might just mention, if we go back in history, passport is a relatively recent thing. You know, there was a time before the turn of the last century when mostly you could travel wherever you wanted to travel. You didn't have to have documents. You didn't have to get the permission of the various governments or police. Even in one of the most interesting things John Maynard Keynes wrote, and one of the few things that was not a bunch of lies, he looked back before World War I and he said what a different world this was. That if a business person in London wanted to go set up a business in Paris, he just took the train and went over there and was able to rent a place and start his business. And the currency was sound. It was a gold standard. And he talked about just how much, it's funny, I guess even Keynes had a conscience. And he talked about how things were so much better in those days. So the passport was invented as a means of the government to control us, to control our travel. Now, of course, they're putting chips in it, as we know, and they're making it much more of a they want to have an internal passport too, whether it'll be the current passport or something else. They do indeed want to control our travel, as you mentioned. Barbara Boxer has a bill that is suggested by the IRS. Of course, these Congress people, even the evil ones like Boxer, are mostly just puppets. And so she was asked by the Treasury Department to introduce this bill where if they decide that you owe them money, they can stop you from leaving the United States. You have no right to travel. Maybe they'll put you in your house and have a device around your ankle to keep control of us all, too. It's always important, I think, when we're thinking about any of these things, these horrible things that are going on these days, as well as the good things, that every government would like to be a totalitarian state. That's always their ambition. That's the ambition of the people who go into government, and it's the ambition of the big private interests that are connected to government and benefit from government. They would all like total control over over the peons, over the mundanes, over the poor slobs, as they think of us, who go on work every day and are the actual producers in the country. So it's what is it then that keeps every government from being totalitarian? What is it that prevents things like what's happened since 9/11 in this country from taking place? It's popular resistance. So when you have something like 9/11 that so drastically diminished popular resistance to government, government spying, government intrusions and controls of every sort, then the government just immediately expands. And we know they're expanding in these tremendous ways. We have Paul K. Roberts pointed out the other day and pointing out that really China is in many ways freer than the United States. That you know, at least in China, there's no, you don't have the prime minister saying, by the way, nobody in China has any rights, so we can kill you, we can jail you, we can torture you if we decide you're a bad guy. Even that, you know, they don't say that. Only the U.S. says that kind of thing, and of course carries it out. But again, I think there's optimism abroad because of young people and because of just what we see as we can call it the Ron Paul movement, although it's actually, as Ron Paul points out, broader than himself, of course. It's a libertarian movement. It's a tremendous reaction to all the horrendous stuff that's going on. That doesn't mean we've got an easy path ahead. Things are going to be very, very difficult, much more difficult economically. Obama is, of course, even worse than Bush. Hard to believe anybody could be worse than Bush. Obama is worse than Bush. And I imagine that Romney, will, if he's elected, will be worse than Obama. If Obama's reelected, he'll be worse than Obama the first time. So, you know, I'd say we can't look to government as our salvation. Nothing good ever comes out of Washington, D.C. It's really a carbuncle on the American body politic. And so we can't look to them. We have to look to ourselves, look to our neighbors. We have to make the preparations for troubles ahead, personal preparations, financial preparations, also ideological and educational preparations. We have to read. We have to read books. We have to read the right kind of things on the internet. We have to educate ourselves to understand what the heck is happening. We need to know some economics. We need to know some real history. We need to know actual political science. We need to know about the nature of the state, which, as Murray Rothbard said, a gang of thieves writ large. If you think of government as a gang of thieves writ large, it really explains everything, and you won't be surprised at what they're trying to do. And you know that the one thing we can do as they're trying to steal everything from us, our liberty, our money, our lives, our children, our homes, our businesses, our communities, that we have to resist them. And the first step to resisting them is to know who they are, what they are, why they're doing what they're doing, and why we should oppose it.
In fact, I want to inject a point on the subject that you raised, the foundation of what is the state. And those that support big government and the monopolies that it creates have created through the control of corporate media back when it still had dominance, this idea that to not trust the state is un-American, that to not blindly believe known certified liars is somehow insane, and that you're a conspiracy theorist if you don't buy into whatever the system is shoveling at you. But if you go back to the founding fathers and common sense, if you go back thousands of years ago in every culture, the population knew there was a corrupt elite ruling over them, and the corrupt elite was in castles with armed forces basically keeping them in servitude. But in comes in the 20th century, and now 21st, more sophisticated propaganda, and they create this idea that the state loves you and wants to take care of you, and that it's weird to not out of hand just trust them. But take George Washington. He was the first person whoever had executive power like that in more modern history who did not become king. They wanted him to. And when he left after two terms and went back to be a farmer, because that's what he really enjoyed, the King of England said today, George Washington's the greatest man in the world. And it was because no one would give up that type of power. And so that original Americana idea is so precious, and the system claims it's alien and radical. The truth is the system is what is alien and radical. I want you to comment on that.
Well, there was an interesting column in the Washington Post recently where was moaning and groaning about the horrible Secret Service scandal and the GSA scandal. These are so horrible, they would undermine people's trust in the government. Well, of course, people should have no trust in the government, or rather you can trust the government to always do the evil thing. I mean, if they can get away with it, if they don't do the evil thing, it's because they either haven't thought of it or they don't think it's in their own interests, or they can't get it together to do it, because, of course, government is the most incompetent agency ever to exist. Anybody who's ever been in the military or worked for the civilian part of the federal government and is willing to tell the truth will tell you that they've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's just the waste, the corruption, the nastiness, the controls, and this is what, of course, they want. They want all of America to be like an airport. We all wait patiently in line. We're afraid to look them in the eye, or maybe we're supposed to look them in the eye, or otherwise you're a terrorist. And the blue shirts can do whatever they want to you, your children, your parents. You just have to go along, let them x-ray you, let them question you. You have no rights, and they've got total control. So
It's off the chart. When we come back, I'm gonna ask you, I don't know yet, what's number one on Lou Rockwell's radar screen, LouRockwell.com. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com, and I got a bunch of other news. We're going to raise with Lou coming up. Into politics, the election with Lou Rockwell, who's a real expert on that, and the fact that Ron Paul has already won, as he wrote a few months ago in a piece. And I also want to read a quote out of Light and Liberty, Reflections on the Pursuit of Happiness, Thomas Jefferson. This is a book by Thomas Jefferson, re-edited and released. A guy came to my house and put this on my doorstep once. My wife got pretty mad, but it was a good book. Well, she had a 357 and told the guy to leave. He was knocking on our door at 10 o'clock at night trying to give me this, but I didn't know how close he came. But not a good idea to come to my house. Side issue. Let's go back to Lou Rockwell. Lou, grab bag of everything going on right now. What's front and center on your radar screen?
Well, it's so much bad that's happening, but I do notice Ron Paul just wrote about this, in fact, that there's a new, if you remember the SOPA bill, S-O-P-A, that was designed to take control of the internet in the name of so-called intellectual property. That bill was defeated, thank goodness. Now there's another one, even a worse one, called CISPA, C-I-S-P-A. And these bills are both designed by the recording industry and the movie industry and by the NSA and the FBI and the CIA and all to work together to crush the internet and to make sure that the movie industry and the recording industry can get what I would argue are unjust profits through the government. So it's in the name of stopping, quote unquote, theft on the internet that they want to take total control. They are. Before our eyes, of course, they are doing
wreck free speech,
bad things.
Make us pay for it, get rid of due process, instead of them going out and enforcing their so-called copyrights.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I would argue that both copyrights and patents are illegitimate grants of government monopoly, but the way that it was in the Constitution, everything was standable. But starting under the Reagan administration, this was stepped up to such a horrendous extent. One of the excuses was to keep Mickey Mouse in copyright by the Disney company. And Ronald Reagan was always sort of the agent of the Hollywood mafia among his other roles in life. And so he, rolled over for them. And these things were put in. It keeps getting worse and worse. They keep extending their copyrights and
They're trying to say now you can't show a newspaper on TV. The lawyers are. And, of course, it's all made up. A lady called earlier and said the police are telling them you're not allowed to defend yourself in your home anymore because of the Zimmerman case. And that you've got to call. I mean, because a cop said so. That's just the way it is.
Well, you have the TSA invading flea markets looking for, you know, allegedly counterfeit shirts. That somebody's producing a shirt that might look like, allegedly like, you know, a Gucci shirt or some expensive shirt. They were making an inexpensive shirt.
No judge, no jury. They just seize them.
No, just go in, seize the property, put them in jail. So it's all a horrendous tyranny. And this is right across the world. The U.S. government uses this as a control. They're trying to extradite right now a boy from England who has Asperger's syndrome, and as a teenager put up a website that had on it links to BitTorrent sites and other sites where you could download movies. So just the fact that he had a site, which is not illegal in England, by the way, that had links to other sites, the U.S. government wants to take this kid, bring him back to this country, and put him in jail for 12 years. 12 years. And this is another thing going on in this country, of course, the growth of the prison industrial complex. There was recently a black lady, a homeless lady, who had enrolled her child in a better school district than the one she lived in. They're putting her in jail, again, for 12 years. 12 years. I mean, so one thing we always need to keep in mind is the people who work in the government have what St. Augustine called the libido dominandi, the lust to dominate, the lust to rule. They like to take us and do this. They get a charge out of this. They love this. So not only is the prison industrial complex make a lot of profits for people, a lot of these profits, prisons are profitable, and of course the government prisons are built by private industry and so forth. So there's always that thing. But people who work in the government love putting people in jail. They love starting wars. They like killing people.
They like torture.
These are not good people. We don't want them running our lives.
Well, that's right. I mean, who wants a job at the TSA grabbing women and children's genitals? I mean, and it's coming out that they enjoy it and like it and tell people so.
Well, when Ron Paul was had his first experience with this, and it was horrendous. He has titanium knees, so when he goes commercial, he gets the full feel up.
Stay there. I want to hear the story on the other side. Long segment coming up. LouRockwell.com. He's our guest. We'll get into the election, a bunch of other news on the other side with Lou Rockwell, the consummate libertarian and right-hand man for many years to Ron Paul. We'll get his view on so many things coming up. Stay with us.
We've got it.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Yeah, we see the earth from here. And it is infested with gangs that call themselves government. Then there's these big mega corporations to a group that are all anti-free market. The big Fortune 100, sitting on top government, sucking through government off the population and corporate welfare and trying to make the general public dependent, and J.P. Morgan administering the welfare cards and the food stamps. It is a nightmare. And Lou, I want you to finish your Ron Paul story, but then I want to just get this question out now. I'll do it after, but sure, people are waking up, but that's people that can tie their shoelaces. One way or the other, half the population is on the government mammary gland.
Yeah, and of course, this is right after the Ron Paul story, I'll say a little bit more about that, but I'll just finish that this is the first time he had to go through a full TSA treatment. He has titanium knees, therefore, even if he wanted to go through the X-ray, he can't. They won't let him, and he got the extremely intrusive and horrendous examination by the TSA. And Ron said to the man, he said, how can you stand to do a job like this? And the man looked at him in the eye and said, I love doing it. So, yeah, they do. Of course, these are not, I mean, I'm sure there are some decent people out of the 40 or 50,000 TSA blue shirts who are caught up in this. They didn't have a job. They needed something. But really, the kinds of people who get hired by the government, if they're decent people, it's a mistake. It's a mistake they're in there. They don't want decent people in the government. They want people, again, who are willing to do this to you. That's their philosophy.
Listen, when like top movie stars in LAX now, it turns out stalkers are battling and doing anything they can to become TSA because it's Hollywood stars all day coming through and they go crazy and it's like a celebration. It's on video and photos and they just grope them and grab them and Miss USA, they go in her pants in Dallas because they knew who she was and actually in her body. And listen, I was with Jesse Ventura. I have flown out of Vegas where I was doing a video shoot with Ventura and the guy knew who I was and said, I have, quote, Lou, he actually said this, I have an administrative privilege. And he said, by the way, I heard your show yesterday from here in Vegas and all this and was rubbing on me and getting off on the power of it, clearly getting off on it. And when I flew with Ventura out of Atlanta, they all knew who he was, were talking to him and were taking their time squeezing his genitals. And I couldn't believe it. I started taking photos, and Ventura was embarrassed and said, stop, and he made me erase them. And he later sued him, of course, and it got thrown out. And they actually went. I don't want to go over it. The point is, exactly, they told Ron Paul, I love it. They love it. Look how many are getting busted. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, of course they love it. These are the kinds of people who go into the government, tend to go into the government. Not every postman is a bad guy, but the people who tend to go into the government are like this. And certainly the people who rise in the government. F.A. Hayek wrote a great chapter in his book, The Road to Serfdom, on why the worst rise to the top in government. Unlike in a private business, in private life, the worst do not tend to rise to the top. But in government, the worst people, the worst liars, the worst power mongers, the worst warmongers, the worst the people who are just love all that's evil, they are the ones, the demagogues, they're the ones who rise to the top and get and become, you know, president of the United States, for example. These are not the good guys. These are the worst people in society.
And he looked at Ron Paul. Yeah, he told that story here on air. It made the Drudge Report. He looked at him and said, I love this job.
He said, I love it. Ron said to him, how can you stand doing a job like this? And he looked him in the eye and he said, I love it.
I love it.
So yeah, at least he told the truth for that moment. My guess is he wouldn't tell the truth in public, but he told the truth with great animus too, of course. These people, they also hate us, by the way. As you pointed out, they talk about they're going to care for us. As always, they're helping the poor, they're helping the elderly, they're helping the sick and so forth. You know, they of course, are hurting all these groups. And we can just see, you know, if we think of the government has passed so many laws, very intrusive laws in the name of helping the disabled or in preventing assaults on children. So when the government, you know, is in control, of course, we see how they treat the disabled in the airports. We see how they treat children in the airports. Again, you can't believe a word they say, or rather, you can typically believe the opposite of what they say. So that's the rule of thumb.
Well, it's not typically. Look at the TSA. They lie on every subject and get caught and keep lying. And I just can't believe the American people turn their children over to them. So that's my next question. What do you do about half the population that can't survive without a government paycheck and who believe it's there? It's like that woman who had like 9 kids and was getting like all these dozens of welfare checks. And she said, I deserve more. What are you going to do for me?
Well, you know, we have one of the things that democracy does. Hans Hermann Hoppe has a great book on this, Democracy, the God That Failed. Democracy has been a great invention for government. From a practical standpoint, we end up with, you know, Socialist A or Socialist B we can vote for, so they don't worry about who wins the election. But from a ideological standpoint, they convince people that, you know, we are the government. You hear Americans saying, should we go to Mars? Should we invade Syria? You know, it's not we doing this. It's this separate entity, this parasitical entity that's called the government and the military industrial complex and so forth. So democracy has... You talked about earlier how in earlier times people saw the government as the rich people living in the castle and collecting taxes from them, and they correctly saw the government as something separate from them. Democracy makes us believe entirely erroneously that we are the government, and it blurs that distinction about who is, as John C. Calhoun said, who's the taxpayer and who's the tax eater. So, yeah, there are a lot of people who are getting government checks. The government is still a minority, though. They can't They can't, if they were the majority, the whole thing would collapse. They have to be a small minority. That is, those who are entirely living off the government. But by making a lot of other people a little bit living off the government, they make them, they hope to gain their loyalty. And I'm sorry to say, they do gain their loyalty. So people are worried about, oh gosh, Social Security is going to go broke, or Medicare is going to go broke. Although those things can't go broke any more than the Pentagon can go broke. As long as they got the printing press, they'll keep everything in existence, because the dollar can be worthless, but all these things will be in existence, because they exist for purposes of control. They don't exist to help people. They exist to make people subservient to the government, dependent on the government, and mentally dependent on the government, and never to threaten everything. Always to go along, obey them, believe they're baloney, whether it's taught in the public schools. I mean, I ask myself, why do people send their kids to the public schools? Why would anybody do that? Some people are forced into it financially, but a lot of people could easily afford to send their children to a decent private school or to do homeschooling. They won't do it because they think, well, this is...
Well, I do, but here's the problem. Then even good, quote, Christian schools or others want to be accredited so your child can, quote, get the credits to go to college or whatever, which is now what more than half of college graduates will never even be able to get a job that pays for half of their debt. It is a fraud because they ship the jobs out of the country by design, but through crony deals and monopoly deals. But now they are, you know, giving them stuff about how great Barack Obama's wife is and, you know, what you're supposed to eat under No Child Left Behind, even in the private schools. They're taking everything over.
Well, of course, they do want to take over the private schools. A lot of these private schools, and you have to be careful, a lot of them are what a friend of mine calls public schools with tuition. So, yeah, why homeschooling is really probably the only thing that where you can entirely be in control of what your children are being taught. But there are good private schools still. There are private schools that fight this sort of thing, that don't just use the government curriculum. But you're right about accreditation. I mean, accreditation is a government scheme, is a government control scheme. As to college, yeah, more and more people, as you say, are looking into whether, James Altucher points out, even what we think of as less expensive colleges, it's about a $200,000 expenditure, because you have to take into account the money you're not earning during the years you're in college. So it's very expensive. These kids end up with huge amounts of debt. Government aid, government takeover of the education system has made impossible what Ron Paul, for example, did when he was in college. He worked his way through school. Now, that's a science fiction idea these days. Nobody can work their way through school because the prices have driven so unbelievably high by the government, benefiting the faculty, benefiting the administration, benefiting the groups that are connected to them, and sticking it to the student. Same thing with medical care. Doctors do great. Hospitals do great. Big Pharma does great. Patients get hurt. So this is, again, the way the government does these things. All these welfare schemes are actually evil. It's not just that they don't turn out the way the government hoped they turned out. The government's motives are always wrong. They're always evil. They always seek control, destruction, taxes, wars, all the stuff they...
Well, let me stop you. Let me stop you. Look at history. That sounds horrible to an individual person. Why would they do that? Individuals always think of, well, why would they want to have a false flag? To take your rights, to be the hero. People always think of things from their individual perspective. And your point of how they're like, we're going to attack Iran. No, we're not. The foreign megabanks that run our criminal government are the ones doing that. We're not putting fluoride in our water. Big chemical companies are paying government to put a toxic waste in your water and making you pay for it. But when you read this book, Behind the Green Mask, Agenda 21 by Rosa Cora, that, by the way, is available at InfoWars.com, it's all the quotes, it's all the plans, it's Maurice Strong. They want a post-industrial society where no one is allowed to operate but them. And that raises my next point. Where do you see this battle going? Because, you know, head Gaia scientist James Lovelock has come out, reversed himself, admitted that it's all a big hoax, man-made global warming, but that they needed it to basically be able to sell the public on other things that are good for the environment. Meanwhile, government and socialist states always are the worst. Take the Soviet Union. Now we have, as I mentioned at the start of the interview, Forbes coming out and saying, one of their writers, let's burn down people's houses, let's mark down where they live, let's go get them. And then that's allowed. We have the Justice Department inside the protest for Trayvon Martin trying to get a riot going confirmed. That's been leaked. I mean, my point is, people shouldn't underestimate how authoritarian they are. So looking forward from history, because not just the way things are, I want where Lou Rockwell thinks things are going, because the authoritarians now, every day I see it, are calling for violence, are calling for dictatorial takeover. They know we're waking up, so now they're settling the idea within their ranks of, let's just start arresting people for their speech. There's going to be a big Dealey Plaza protest with 50th anniversary. They've announced no protest allowed. They're leasing to the school book building museum the entire area for 2 days for $110, leasing a park. And they're saying no one allowed there but their people, because they know media is going to be there. I mean, this is just off the charts.
Well, if we think back to what the ancient Romans had as one of their slogans for their empire, divide et impera, divide and rule, divide and conquer. Governments always want to get people fighting against each other. I mean, whether we look at, say, what the U.S. did in Iraq, they broke it up. I mean, so they caused tremendous tensions between the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds and so forth. This is what they want to do in Syria. They're doing it in Syria. This is what they want to do in Iran. This is what they're doing in our own country. So in order to keep people from focusing on their real enemy, which of course is not Al-Qaeda or whatever, it's Washington, D.C., they want to split us up. So of course they promote race war. They promote all kinds of horrible things that we should, liberals should hate conservatives and all the rest. They want you focusing on that and never to discuss the government. You'll notice if we listen to the neocon, Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, or they never discuss the nature of the government. We're always supposed to focus on the evil of flag burning or whatever. So they always want you on some other thing that doesn't threaten the government, but that divides the people, so they will not become united. You don't have to be united. Diversity is wonderful of all sorts. You don't have to be united in any sense except against the enemy. Where's the enemy? The enemy is in Washington, D.C.
Well, so where do you see things going, though? I mean, if you look into a crystal ball, where do you see America in 5-10 years?
Well, first of all, you have to be worried about things like that you've talked about the Department of Homeland Security buying 450 million rounds of hollow point 40 caliber ammunition. What are they doing? That's enough to wage a war. What do they plan to do with that? Is it because they want to seize our guns?
And they're buying armored mobile pillboxes for the highways, and TSA is now nationwide doing gropes and bag searches on street corners and buses. Sure. I mean, totally illegal.
That's right, and we have some of the TSA people have said that there should be these booths at malls and at public libraries and in all public schools. You should have to be groped to go into anything they decide where some phantom terrorist from overseas might be coming. When the actual terrorists, people who spy on us, take our money, run our lives, try to hurt us, are in our own government. I'll put that in quotes. So where do I see things headed? I think there's a battle. I mean, on the other hand, there has always been a battle between freedom and state. This has always existed as long as there's been civilized humanity. Sometimes the bad guys win and we end up with an Egyptian system where the god is actually the government. And you have to bow down and, be a slave, be the slave of the pharaoh. On the other hand, sometimes we have massive increases in liberty. It happened in the ancient world. It's happened in America and other places. Now, it seems like we're in retreat. But the battle is, I think, never is going to be over until the end of the world. There's always going to be this struggle. So I think the struggle will continue. I think we're going to be, I would say 10 years from now, we will be far better off than we are today. Not that we won't have immense troubles. We have a lot of economic troubles to go through. Who knows what the Federal Reserve is going to do to us? Who knows what the Federal Reserve has already done to us? So we have but the thing is, government is subject to the laws of reality. They all think in government that all they have to do, use their one tool, the gun, put it to your head and say, do it, or we're going to put you in jail, or we're going to kill you. This, by the way, is what's on the traffic ticket. If you don't pay your library fine or anything else, this is the one way the government has to operate. But the gun can't actually, gun, for example, is not exactly a creative force when it's used by a private criminal or government criminals. And there are a lot of things they cannot actually bring about. So I think the fact that kids are, what Ron Paul, you know, as I mentioned, Ron Paul has actually already won because of the millions of minds he's changed, not only in this country, hearts he's touched, not only in this country, in Latin America, in Asia, in Europe. Kids love Ron Paul all over this
There's
world.
Finally an alternative to the status left and status right. When we come back, I want to jam in a call or two, Lou, but I also want to bring this up to you. They have publicly now announced the war on terror is over, but the TSA, the checkpoints, are intensifying. And they say now it's now for domestic groups and libertarians and people. They actually and returning veterans. So they're now admitting what we warned. They're saying, don't worry about Al-Qaeda. They work for us in Libya. They're good. Now the enemy is you. I mean, that's amazing. I want to ask you, why are they hiding everything in plain view now? I guess because they know we've been exposing them, or have they just gotten delusional? We'll get Lou Rockwell's take on that straight ahead. LouRockwell.com. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com with big breaking news up there right now on Bilderberg, location 2012.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I had an important question for Lou Rockwell that I wanted him to answer as we went to break, and now I can't even remember it. Because during the break, Kurt Nemo said, have you seen my new article at InfoWars.com? And I started reading it, and I'd seen this call by the White House. This is racketeering. This is discrimination. Like, black people come and try to buy your house. They've got the credit. You say, I don't sell to black people. But see, when government and corporations do it, it's supposedly okay. Bank of America's war on the Second Amendment. They're now telling a major CEO of a major gun company they will not let them do business with them, have bank accounts, loans, whatever. Bankster giant Bank of America has joined the effort to take down the Second Amendment and deny Americans the right to own and use firearms. Kelly McMillan, the CEO of McMillan Fiberglass Stocks, McMillan Group International, and McMillan Firearms Manufacturing, recently wrote on his Facebook page that Bank of America has refused to do business with his companies because they sell firearms. And we're seeing where they won't take ads in newspapers for them. Bank of America admitted its decision was political. His response was to immediately stop doing business with Bank of America. And because they're saying that they won't do business with him. And it goes over it all. I mean, this is just, it's so authoritarian. Lou, what was my question as we went to break? Do you remember?
Well, you wanted to talk about what's ahead. I frankly apologize. I don't remember exactly what you asked.
No, but I mean, I got blindsided by this. What do you make of all the authoritarian stuff they're doing? It's not stopping people buying all-time record 5 million guns a month and saying right. It's because they don't like the government. I mean, they're losing. Don't they get it? And their bullying isn't scaring people anymore.
Well, you can't, you know, something else you can't trust is the big banks. You can't trust the big banks. These are institutions that are inherently corrupt. They engage in fractional reserve banking, meaning that they're fraudulent.
They are the government. They admit in Europe that they've taken over Europe.
No, and they cooperate with the Federal Reserve to bring on the business cycle. If it weren't for the big banks and the Federal Reserve and banking, I must say, in general, as it exists in this country, we wouldn't have recessions and depressions. So these are not good institutions, and they treat you, of course, like a microbe if you're one of their customers. And so, as you say, they're getting rid of one of their business customers because they don't like people owning guns. Well, I'm sure they don't. Well, people ought to get out of bank. Hope nobody has an account in Bank of America. Get out of Bank of America.
This is Bank of America.
Citibank,
so disconnected.
Banks.
Exactly.
You're a small bank. You're much better off dealing with a small community bank. You can check the ratings, but you're far, you know, don't deal with these great big banks. And also deal in cash to the extent you can. The government hates cash. The banks, of course, hate cash. Because if you're dealing in cash, they don't have that money to be able to pyramid loans on top of it and cause all kinds of trouble and to exacerbate the whole inflation process.
Well, Lou, that's what I was about to say in closing, as we're almost out of time, and of course they don't have time for calls, is that they tried to charge $5 every time you use your own bank card when they're using your money. People said no. But this shows how disconnected Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, the shareholders of the Federal Reserve are. They think they're God and are trying to shut down real local banks.
But one small thing you can do, again, is use cash. Deal in cash. If you try to get a significant amount, it's actually fun to do it, to go into your bank and ask for a significant amount of your own cash. They hate your guts. They'll do everything possible that make you feel bad that you're wanting your own money. And the reason is because it hurts them when you get that cash out. You deal in cash. So the extent that everybody can deal in cash, deal with a small bank, you're hitting them where it hurts.
Hey, I've gotten out less than $10,000 and had bank managers call me and ask me if I'm a criminal just to make me feel bad.
Yeah, no, of course. You're not a tool of the banksters. You must be a bad guy.
Because they're the bad guys. Lou Rockwell, amazing interview. Ron Paul has already won the hearts and minds, that is. We'll have to have you back soon to talk about puppet Romney versus puppet Obama. Thank you so much, Lou.
Thanks, Alex.
Amazing interview with Lou Rockwell. Stay with us, InfoWars.com.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network.
Last week, we had Charlie Daniels on the show. He's woken up to the New World Order, Agenda 21, and so much more. And a lot of people heard it and have begged me to re-air it. Some people said they only caught part of it. So you want it, you got it. Here is a encore rebroadcast of my interview last week with the country legend, Charlie Daniels.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you."
Oh, man, it is hard to turn that off. The devil is due. That is one of my favorite songs in country, western, folk, you name it. And my children love it. We routinely listen to it when we're cooking breakfast in the morning. Part of the greatest hits with Johnny Cash and people like that in the background. But this is the first time I've ever talked to him, and I'm almost tongue-tied. Charlie Daniels, he needs no introduction. But the best part is he's always loved America. He's always defended the Bill of Rights and Constitution, including the Second Amendment. And now he's really coming out against the globalists, the New World Order, Agenda 21. And I was just talking to him the last two or three minutes before he went live here. Charlie Daniels of CharlieDaniels.com. He's on tour nationwide right now, but he told me he's not here to talk about that. He's here to talk about Agenda 21 and a new documentary that he's voiced called Behold a Pale Horse on the Second Amendment and more. Mr. Daniels, great to have you here with us.
Thank you very much, and it's good to be with you. And everybody needs to be talking about Agenda 21. This is another one. You know, one of the things that really scared me, and to scare everybody, is the way this health care bill got pushed through. Is you could wake up one morning, and after a midnight session of Congress, no telling what could be done. And this Agenda 21 is an evil, diabolical thing. It is global in scope, and everybody needs to know about it. I think people know about it. We have an arms about it.
Well, you write about it at CharlieDaniels.com. Tell us about your political awakening that's, I guess, decades old, but currently what you're most focused on. And let's talk about Agenda 21 and why people should be concerned about it.
Well, let me just read a little thing here from Agenda 21. The American system of justice must be changed to conform to the rest of the world, and there must be a shift in attitudes, individual wants, needs, and desires are be conformed to the views and the dictates of government planners in the process of implementing sustainable development. Individual rights will have to take a back seat to the collective. That's for starters. That, if that shocks anybody, then you should dig a little deeper into this thing. And just go look it up. Don't take my word for it. Just go look it up. It's the information. They've been pretty bold about it, I will say that. And the information is readily available on the Internet. This is a thing that, it goes on into no individual ownership of property. I heard a thing the other day. I raise farm animals. I raise cows and horses. And there was a bill that passed. I didn't know what it passed at the time, but it was called the Food Protection Act. That might not have been the exact.
Yeah, the Food Safety Act.
Food Safety Act, right. And I called our two senators. It was in the Senate at the time, and I called Senator Lamar Alexander's office, and I called Senator Corker's office. And I said, I asked, of course, I didn't talk to either one of them, but I talked to their aide. And I asked a guy, I thought it was on the floor, it had passed. Senator Alexander had voted for it. I called Senator Corker, and I asked the guy, I said, what about the small farm? Oh, Senator Alexander would never do anything to hurt farmers. Called Senator Corker's office. Well, Senator Corker voted against it. Now, you know, what's the deal here? If it's good for the state of Tennessee, why would one senator vote for it and one vote against it? The thing about to me is this, and what people don't realize has been has to be brought home to people. You say, okay, if you know, things go south, I got an acre of ground, I go ahead and plant a garden. I'll get me a cow, a couple of pigs, and some chickens. No, you won't. Because under the Food Protection Act, they could come in and say, you can't grow anything because you're spreading bad stuff into the food supply. I saw a thing the other day about mad cow disease in California. It's becoming, okay, you're endangering the health of all the animals in the country by your animals, so you can't grow your animals anymore. Agenda 21 wants to reduce the population of the planet Earth by some, I'm afraid to even say it because it really makes me sound crazy, but some tremendous event. Earth is God to these people, and they're, you know, we're mistreating the Earth, us evil human beings. The Bible says God gave, you know, he gave this Earth to man.
Dominion.
To subdue. And the animals on it, everything on it. And it, Earth is not God. I love the Earth. I'm a very earthy sort of person, but it is not my God. It is not a God. It doesn't have any power. And we have mistreated it. I know we've mistreated it, but it's, the Earth is perfectly capable of refurbishing itself.
I was about to say, Charlie Daniels, our guest, they don't care about the environment, these globalists. They've got a lot of people that follow them that do, that are misguided. It's all about a power grab. Under Agenda 21, Obama can shut down coal power plants that his buddies don't own, and he's done it, and then that makes General Electric and others, who, by the way, are tax-exempt under this fraud, they make giant profits. It's about monopolies. And when you talk about the Food Safety Act, you're right. Big Pharma and Big Agro wrote it to shut down family farms. I mean, look at them going after the Amish. I'm just backing you up here, Charlie. Look at them going after people with lemonade stands. Look at them going after gardens. The system does not want us self-sufficient.
Well, you know what the next move's going to be, don't you? It's going to be coming after your guns.
Oh, yeah.
There is something afoot here right now. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something. And the one thing that really scares me is the fact that we are one Supreme Court justice away from Obama doing just about any damn thing he wants to do. I mean, if you can't get it through the Congress, Congress and Senate would never have enough guts to try to take people's guns away from them. They would not do it. They know it would be political suicide. But if it's done through the Supreme Court, it becomes the law of the land. I tell you, it ain't going to sit well down my way at all. It ain't going to sit well. But if they come out and people say, well, I will not give them my guns, it take about one or two Ruby Ridges and Waco's to convince people, hey, it ain't worth it. You know, and that's how deep this thing goes. It's, you know, it scares the heck out of me. I'm 75 years old. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'll live to see this stuff implemented or not, but I got a kid and I got grandkids, and I don't want to see them live in a world that Big Brother runs, and you got to worry about some Nazi type SOB come knocking on the door in the middle of the night and taking you to task about some opinion that you have, a hate crime opinion. You know, to me, what is a hate crime? I mean, you know, if you kill somebody, you must hate them. I mean, how many
exactly.
times do you kill somebody? If you hate somebody, if it's a hate crime, do you kill them twice? What is it? You know, what's the difference? So, you know, this stuff, these little things in this Obamacare thing that was passed, we have a congressman named Bart Gordon in Tennessee that he was not going to run again. He voted for the Obamacare knowing that his constituency did not want it. He had disappeared. Nobody even knows where he's at. I tried to call him out. He owes it to the people who put him in office to come out and tell us why he voted for it.
And now we see Obama, Charlie Daniels is our guest right now, giving 2,000-plus companies waivers. So, again, his buddies get waivers from what he does. That's total discrimination. But going back to the Second Amendment, as you know, I know you're a big supporter of them, the NRA, and they're usually pretty, you know, conservative about what they say. They have the intel, and the Washington Times reported on this last year, that in his second term, He is going to try to ban semi-autos. And then we got documents that he told the Brady campaign, don't worry, I'm going to do it, quote, under the radar. And remember that tape that got recorded, he didn't know people had, where he said, yeah, these Bible-hugging, you know, gun-hugging, bitter clingers. And so absolutely, sir, they are coming after our guns. What about Fast and Furious, where Obama shipped guns into Mexico and CBS got the memos to blame the Second Amendment?
Well, I think Eric Holder, for the two things, he should have been, either if he did that, he should be impeached and run out of office. He claims he didn't know about it. If he did, he should be run out for incompetence. How do you cross guns into a sovereign nation across international borders and nobody knows about it except the peons that work in the thing? Now, just tell me, how do you do that? If the Obama administration is that incompetent, if they can do that, if they can carry guns across state lines, I mean, across international borders and give them to people, or I mean, in essence, that's what happened. It's not that they didn't actually carry them across themselves. I mean, once, and you don't know about it, it's going on in your department, will you fire everybody in your department? But this guy knew about it. He had to know about it. There's no way Holder didn't know about that thing. I don't care what he said. And I honestly, and I will accuse him of lying if he says he don't know anything about it. He knew it. He knew that early on. He didn't do anything about it. He's such an arrogant SOB that he thinks that anything he does, he can get away with. And, you know, this is just any other administration would have fired him 2 years ago. And this guy's wreaking havoc with America. He's wreaking havoc in Arizona. People knew what was going on in Arizona. I met the family of a rancher, third generation or so rancher in Texas who was killed by people coming across the border. I mean, this is a family. This is a good American family that make a good, honest living off the land and are good people. And their father and their husband have been killed by these people who come across the border. This is what's happening all along the border. You don't hear about it. But every time somebody comes across, some of these people come across, certainly they come across there. They just want to make a living, okay? You want to make a living, you want to do it. Go do it like everybody, my people did when they came over from Ireland and other people when they came from Germany and Israel and all these places, immigrated here. Why? Just because they live next to us. People from Canada can't do that. People from Canada can't walk across the border. This is so daggone totally political. And so base expanding and so, you know, contingency thing that we get this many voters. We get what? Tell me something. How can you go into a bank and cash a check and it makes you put out a picture ID? I can't catch a plane without putting a picture ID. I can't vote in my state and they know who I am. I vote the same polls all the time, but you got to present that ID before they're going to let you vote. And you mean to tell me that it's right to let people go vote and we don't even know if they're citizens?
Well, Charlie, as you know, all over the country, right here in Austin, they let the illegals basically vote. They let them get bank accounts with no ID. But I've got to go show three sometimes at my bank. The point is that the government elite are on top. The illegals are second. Citizens are third class. And the government just ignores laws whenever they want. It's totally lawless. This is globalism. Now, talking about Agenda 21 and this whole world government situation, I'm seeing a huge awakening. Arizona's on the verge of passing it. Another state has passed a law against it. Other states are passing laws against the NDAA to secretly arrest Americans. It does look like there is an awakening happening. And to go back to that song you had about, you know, America waking up and getting, you know, together again, you know, we damn sure fooled you. I think we're on the cusp of another big awakening.
I certainly hope you're right. I hope you're right. I was involved in the National Day of Prayer, you know, yesterday, and I was making speeches. And one of the big things I was talking about, the further away we get from God, the more lost we get. And, I mean, it's just it's an absolute fact. And this thing of being upset when you see a cross somewhere or something and this little handful of people want to remove, you know, and they'll tell you, these people will tell you now, just rank and file citizens, well, this constitutional separation of church and state, it's not in the Constitution. It says nothing about separation of church and state. It says Congress shall pass no law concerning religion.
That's right. Congress can make no law, and they take a letter from Thomas Jefferson saying he didn't want to have one church, one state religion, and they twist it so instead the government runs religion, and they say that's the Constitution, when that's the opposite. Government cannot touch it, cannot do anything, zero. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Charlie Daniels, you are absolutely on target.
Well, you know, that part of the law in the Constitution was to protect the church from the government, not the government from the church. And it's all twisted around. But, you know, if we start talking about, you know, things that offend you, I see stuff all the time that offend me. But I'm not going to go out and do a protest about it because, I don't like it. If other people want to, you know, have lewd pictures up and that sort of thing, I don't have to look at it. I can walk right by it. Don't bother me. Why can't they do the same thing with the cross? It's like these people just go around and look for little things that, and what the situation is, it's not separation of church and state, it's separation of God and state. That's what they want to do.
Well, sir, as you know, they want to replace it with this fake environmentalism, Agenda 21. They admit in the UN they want a global religion. They said that at the last big UN summit that Lord Monckton and others that were there saw and got the documents on. This is a cult, and you notice it's just Christianity. They're even telling people not to wear shirts with a cross on it in the mall now. It's an idea that you don't have freedom of speech in this country.
Oh, we have freedom of speech in this country, and I will wear any dead blame thing I'm pleased to. You know, I mean, that's just a situation. I hope people listening, people don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by this stuff. Biggest part of these things that you're hearing are not law. They're not law in this country. Separation of church and state is not law. It's not constitutional. This thing, Agenda 21, that we're talking about, please don't take my word for it. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to believe it. So go look it up on your internet. Go check it for yourself. It is very real. It's been going on since back in the 70s. Some of the most powerful people in the world are connected to it and endorsing it and promoting it. And the UN, which in my book should be the building, should be pushed into the East River or turned into a homeless hotel and run them people out of here. Let them go to Paris. It's just a toothless debating society, anti-American debating society, I should say. Can you imagine these idiots running anything? They can't find their way to the bathroom. And they want to run, they want to take over our national parks. They want to say what we can do with our food chain and what kind of animals we can raise and this sort of thing. It ain't, it's just like you said a while ago, this is total power grab, total control.
All right, folks, we'll be right back with more of this encore retransmission of my interview with Charlie Daniels.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream. And the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, Charlie's with us another 20 minutes. He'd stay longer, but you know, he's got to get on down the road to play a gig. And I said, hey, listen, we'll get you out here in 20 minutes and you can be off the races. And he said, oh, you don't know how true that is. I'm playing the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Okay, let's go to some phone calls here. Jonathan, Michael, John, Patriot, Richard, and others. Jonathan in Texas, you're on the air with Charlie Daniels.
Yes, sir. This is glad to speak with you, Charlie Daniels. This is at Fox 777. And I was wondering, can you by chance assemble a cast to sing about Agenda 21, similar to like they did with We Are the World?
Hey, listen, he's the guy that did the song that In America. Oh, I love that song. And then, I mean, so many other patriotic ones. Yeah, we saw that new song that came out by Hank Williams Jr. Telling Obama where he can go for getting him fired. What about you doing something like that?
Well, you know, I kind of take it as it comes. I get these inspirations to write songs. I don't. That was a unique idea that you came up with there, Jonathan. I hadn't really thought about it in that way. I am very much. I want so bad, and what we're doing now is good, is to let people know. A lot of people don't know this thing even exists. They have to know what it exists. They have to know what's in it. And I believe when they do, we will see some mad people in this country.
You could have a song about get your 21 out of here or you're going to get a 21-gun salute.
That's right. That's right. That's probably what happened, too.
Oh, you, man. Jonathan. Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. Man, Michael in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, gentlemen, it's a pleasure speaking to you. Hey, yes, sir. Big fan of yours. Big fan of yours. And you know what? You probably hear my Yankee accent. I've only been down here in Texas for a few years, but it's the best thing that ever happened to me, this job transfer. But the thing that, and I'm asking if you've seen this, even in your state, people that, you know, all they care about probably is volunteer football and, you know, Dancing with the Stars or even on, you know, CMT, they'll watch them, that version of
America. Yeah, but there's always people, I want his answer to this, but there's always people that don't care. It's always been a minority that actually fights for liberty, just like in 1776. Charlie?
Yeah, that's true, but if it's a fiery enough minority, you get the majority's attention. You know, people don't realize this thing. I was unaware of the scope of this thing myself, but just a short while ago. I've been hearing about this global thing going on for a long time, but to get down and get specific about it, they've now put a lot of it in writing as to what it
exactly
is.
Who showed you the proof? Who showed you the proof and turned Charlie Daniels loose?
I looked up on the internet. I mean, it's there. It's there for you to look.
No, I know, but I mean, I'm interested in who got you to look, because this is what you're talking about. We've got to give people the facts.
Well, that got me specifically on Agenda 21 was Chuck Hunterson, who did this movie. Because he's really delved into it. He's talked to people that are very familiar with what it is. This documentary, this Beyond the Pale Horse, goes into this whole situation. It names names. It names agendas. It names what has happened, how far we have come along, or how far down the trail we are. And some people who explain from their point of view the general... his name slips my mind right now. I can't remember. He was head of the Special Forces. This is a man who has the credentials behind him that is a great, great American who explains what has happened to this nation insofar as headed towards socialism is concerned. The steps that were taken in other places where socialism took a hold, the steps that they took, what they did, how they went in, how they started. And it goes through this whole thing, and he stands there and explains it, and you believe him because he's telling the truth.
It is.
Because he is a man with the credentials behind him to know what he's talking about.
Well said, Michael. Thank you. John, Patriot, Richard, Doris, everybody, your calls are coming up. Usually we have calls from all over the country. It's Tennessee and Texas calling today. And Michigan. And we got some in Canada.
Nothing wrong with that.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, a Texas filmmaker has made a new film with Charlie Daniels. Behold a Pale Horse, America's Last Chance, and they do have a great website, beholdapalehorse.tv. So we do have that website for you. Of course, my websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. My film on Agenda 21 and the UN takeover system is Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. It's free online. Even though you know about this, folks, pay it forward. Get the video online, YouTube, Google, pass it on to others. We also are carrying another film that exposes Agenda 21, Farmageddon, eye-popping wake-up call, Los Angeles Times, of how they are harassing farmers, Amish, you name it. They're arresting people for gardens or selling tomatoes now. I mean, they want it shut down. That's available at InfoWars.com. Charlie Daniels of CharlieDaniels.com is our guest. And we were talking during the break. He says he'll come back on with the filmmaker of Behold a Pale Horse. So we'll line that up the next month. Excited about that and excited to get my copy. I actually got invited to the premiere last week. Like an idiot, didn't go to that either. But it's good to learn all this today. I just knew we were getting Charlie Daniels on, and I'm excited to have him. Anything else, Charlie, before we plunge back into calls in this final segment that is burning in your heart and mine right now that you'd like to relay to the population?
The thing about yesterday, I met with a whole bunch of good folks, and we talked about that. Remember, we have one hope, and it is to get back next to God. That's this country was founded on that. And the big one, Christians right now, don't be intimidated by it, because we win this thing in the end. And just stay with it. Stand up for what you believe in. That's the name of the game.
Well, there's a reason the globalists and the communists and the socialists and the collectivists are always trying to henpeck us into shutting up, because we've got the power, free market, capitalism, liberty, private property, family, God, country. That trumps the crap, I'm sorry to use that word, they're selling. And so they want to shut us up.
You're right. Absolutely. Yeah, we don't shut up, are we?
No.
I never shut up.
Oh, man. Let's talk to Richard in Kansas. You're on the air with Charlie Daniels. Welcome.
Good to speak with you again, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Richard.
How you doing, Charlie?
I'm well, thank you.
My question to you is, upon reading the Undercover of Darkness signing of, for example, the National Defense Authorization Act, if upon reading that, you got the exact same sort of red flag feeling that a lot of us got, thinking this is automatically for us, not for other countries.
Yeah, let me put it this way. Obama now says the war on terror is overseas, and Al-Qaeda's good, going after Libya, and they're our friend now, and Bin Laden's dead. But then he says, we're going to expand the TSA. Now they have checkpoints in Texas and in Houston and Dallas where they grope your wife and your family and your children. So now they're telling us the war on terror is for the returning veterans and gun owners and libertarians. I don't know if you saw those Homeland Security documents.
I did hear about that. That's just a dag-blame disgrace. I mean, that's just, you want to get my blood boiling. You start messing with the military and with the veterans. They are, without them, there is no us. And I have been among these people in the last few years, our men and women in uniform, in some pretty desolate parts of this world. I want to tell you what, they're the best we've got. The best we've got is not on Capitol Hill. The best we've got is in the uniform of the United States military. They're the best Americans we got. And when I see somebody messing with them, it just makes it really gets my dander up. Our people who are returning from our wars are heroes and should be treated as heroes. And to even, for anybody to even have the arrogance of accusing them after they've gone and put their lives on the line for this country, and somebody comes along and accuses them of being a terrorist, come on, man.
Well,
that's too far.
Well, the person doing that is obviously the un-American terrorist. But that shows they want to bring in this Agenda 21. They are scared in these documents, MIAC and Homeland Security. It's made big news. If you're a new listener, folks, this is real. Gun owners, libertarians, conservatives, constitutionalists, but number one, returning veterans. They're teaching police that they're the biggest terror threat.
Well, that's just BS, man. That's just crazy. Let me tell you something. America is not stupid. I mean, I guarantee, how many people are going to believe that? That sounds like something out of a fictional novel of some kind. That our returning veterans are terrorists? Come on. Nobody's going to believe that. Nobody does believe that. Of course, there's people that are just sheep that are led around by the nose and believe anything you're told. But people to get up and go to work in the morning and make a living for their family, good God-fearing people are not going to believe that. They know that's a bunch of BS.
The only people that would say something like that are people that want to overthrow this country. They come in and say constitutionalists and libertarians and conservatives and veterans are bad. That's what you'd expect, in the 70s if the Russians took over.
Exactly. Well, it ain't going to work. We can't let it work. There's too many people out there, man. It's too many. I see too many good people every day. They ain't going to swallow this.
Do you agree, Charlie?
That's the thing about educating people about this thing. Please, people, if you're listening to me, don't take my word for it. Don't take Alex's word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Prove it to yourself for the sake of your children and your grandchildren and yourself and this nation that we all love so much. Get on your computer. Look up Agenda 21. And find out what it is and what it means and how it's going to affect not just us, but the whole world. Do that. Don't take my word for it.
You're right. John in Texas, we got to move quick here. We're running out of time with Charlie Daniels. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Sean. You know,
basically, we're in the Soviet system right now. It's just soft core. Because of the Second Amendment, they can't really get rough. So they're implementing it slowly in spots where they can. But the key to all this is the Second Amendment. Once the guns are gone, the velvet glove comes off and the iron fist will come down and we'll be in a red terror that the world will never see.
Amen. Amen. You're right. We can't let that happen. That's the thing about it. You know, that what scares me more so than anything else about this is one more Supreme Court justice. But think about it. You've got Sotomayor, Mayor, and you've got Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan should not even be on the Supreme Court to start with. She helped write the health care law and is now going to rule on it.
That's illegal.
Yes. She should have been recused. She should have recused herself. We've got our Constitution is being trampled on by this government and this administration.
Charlie, what do you make of Cass Sunstein? Since you said that, Cass Sunstein is the guy they've got lined up. Obama says that'll be his next nominee. Cass Sunstein has said, I'm not kidding, you can pull this up, I can't believe it, he said it. He wrote papers 5 years ago, 4 years ago, saying, arrest people that don't agree with man-made global warming or at least fine them. He is a total authoritarian, and that's who Obama wants.
Then they're going to have to come get me. Because I think man-made global warming. I don't think man can't control the climate of this world. That is stupid. If this world is changing, it's God's doing. It's not ours. If it's warming, it's God's doing. It's not man's doing. We can't do it. We can't control it. And, you know, that's just downright stupid. Anybody that has those kind of preconceptions should not even be allowed to go in the Supreme Court building, much less serve on the Supreme Court. And that's what I'm talking about. That's where, if we aren't careful, Obama's big power is going to come from, is from the Supreme Court. And then Congress can sit back and say, well, we didn't do it. Well, yeah, you did. You sit back and let it happen.
Amazing.
You know, you confirm these idiots.
Charlie Daniels is our guest. Thank you so much, John. Patriot in Michigan, you're on the air with Charlie Daniels.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Charlie. It's an honor.
Hey,
Charlie, I would like to commend you for speaking out. I wish more people of your stature would do the same. Just a quick little tidbit, Alex. I'd like to say thank you to all of you. We have started speaking out. We have built a social network. We would like to invite you all. It's patriotspot.wallfm. It's got a ton of Alex content, full of Agenda 21.
Good job, buddy. We appreciate you. Tell us if you got a question for Charlie.
Yes, Charlie. What do you think we should do in response to the NDAA?
Response to the what now?
The National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA bill.
What do you make of Obama?
Me or him?
No, I mean, what do you make of Obama, just to be clear, with NDAA? You know, that's where he says he'll arrest citizens and disappear them if he wants.
I think you ought to call your congressman, your senator, and raise hell with them. Tell them they can't come back to the state if they let something like this happen. But that's a danger again, the Supreme Court situation. They'll never get that through Congress. There's no way they'll ever get it through Congress. But you wait for the Supreme. I mean, that's what scares me. That right now is one of my biggest fears in this country, is the Supreme Court passing something, and the Congress. You know, when you don't read bills, if you can't read bills, you got no business up there. You vote for stuff you don't even want. The heck it is. That's stupid. That's not America. That's not what they're there for. We need to get squared away here. We need people who are going to support our Constitution and people who are going to support Supreme Court justices that are not left so far in one direction that they can't possibly think the right way to rule right on things. This thing about arresting people, that ain't going to happen. We can't let that happen.
I was about to say is that they put a bunch of degenerates and crooks in, so foreign interests can use America like a vending machine. They stick money in, pull the lever, get whatever they want out of it. Let's jam in more calls here in the last few minutes with Charlie Daniels. Doris in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm in Nashville right now. Charlie Daniels.
Well, bless your heart. I'm up here in Louisville right now.
Listen, I'm really glad to hear you two link up together. I've been a Prison Planet member for since March of 11, and I think that we are completely being taken over if people don't wake up. And they'll listen to people like you, and this is sort of like the Alamo. Tennessee wouldn't be a Texas without a Tennessee. I call Lamar Alexander, I call Corker all the time. They always tell me exactly what they told you. They will never vote for these things. Now, they just did the transportation and highway thing, and in it was a section about firearms. And they said he didn't vote for that. I looked up the votes, and they voted yay on it. I don't know. He said, well, he didn't vote for that part.
Well, I know this. They're always changing those bills, but what I know is in that bill is that the IRS just says you haven't paid your taxes. I mean, I've had them come after me, and I know full well I've got mainline accountants and paying all that, you know, stupid tax to the Federal Reserve. And just for them saying you haven't paid, they take your passport away, which is a right as a citizen. Charlie, what do you think of that?
Another paragraph, you know, it's just like they just keep coming at you from every direction they possibly can. Well, how about this situation? We're going to make kids under, what was it, 16, quit working on farms?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, now, isn't that brilliant? The best way in the world for kids to learn work ethic is to get up. Farm kids have the best work ethic. I used to work on a farm when I was a kid. You know, kids that drive, the kids that are 10 years old on farms do a better job driving a tractor than most people on the highways do with automobiles. That's stupid.
Well, here's the deal. My dad... Exactly. My dad grew up on a farm, and I've worked on the family farm we have in ranches nearby. They sent me down there for a whole year one time. But the point is that that's what teaches you to act like an adult when you're young and teaches you responsibility. And some of the best workers on those farms are children. They're having a good time, and they've got a lot of money in their pockets instead of playing video games or joining gangs. But it shows how they want to destroy parental control over their children.
Well, it ain't gonna happen. We can't let it. You know, somehow, some way, we got to say our prayers and pull our boat and leave her, and we cannot let this happen. It's obvious that this is a very clear-cut deal here that we want to go this way, that Obama is going to take us, and he ain't going to change. It's going to be worse if he gets to take a term. Are we going to go this way? We're going to try to go another way. We're going to take a fork in the road. And, you know, it's like, I don't know anything about, I look like Mitt Romney's going to run. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I know he ain't Obama. And I know, you know, to me, I don't endorse political candidates. But right now, I would vote for just about anybody but Obama.
You'd vote for Mickey Mouse over Obama?
I'd vote for Mickey Mouse in the New York Minute, yeah. In fact, we ought to start that. Let's do that. Mickey Mouse for president, yeah.
Over Obama.
We've got a Mickey Mouse president now. What's the difference? Yeah.
Exactly. Let's jam in a few more for Charlie Daniels, then he's got to go play the Kentucky Derby. Let's go ahead and talk to Don in Texas. You're on the air, Don.
Hello, Alex. I wanted to recommend to you, since you've got a musician you're interviewing today, a song that nobody knows, but they think they do, and it's the Star Spangled Banner, the last verse.
Well, you know what, you're right. It does have a last verse, but the thing about it is, when you do it, nobody wants that last verse because it takes too long, and they're burning up network time, and they won't get home for the football game, you know? But yeah, definitely there's a last verse to it.
Can I quickly recite it?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation.
The conquer we must, then we cause it is just, and thus be our motto, in God is our trust. Yeah, that's why they don't say that.
And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Everybody needs to memorize that.
Good verse.
But you notice it says, if our cause is just, you see, and that's why they want to make us corrupt, because we lose all of our providence once we become corrupt.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you're on the air with... I'm sorry, Charlie, go ahead.
I said, we're not going to let this happen. We can't let this happen.
We're not. Caller, you're on with Charlie Daniels. Did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to, since you got a musician on, remind you all of that and all your listeners.
A decision is being made by the president and the joint chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open: total commitment. Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I knew that, yeah.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that, 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
With The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and how did you come up with the best fiddling I've ever heard?
Well, I have to disagree about the best fiddling, because I don't consider myself that. But the way we came up with The Devil Went Down to Georgia is a pretty boring story, actually. We had written and rehearsed a whole album's worth of songs to go in and do an album, and we got in the studio and said that we need a fiddle tune. I don't know why we didn't discover it before we went in, but we said we need a fiddle tune. So we took a break, moved out of the recording studio into a rehearsal studio, and wrote this song. I don't know where the idea came from. I read an old poem back in high school by Stephen Vincent, and they called The Mountain Whippoorwill. It had to do with fiddling, and it always impressed me because I was a young fiddle player, if that's where the idea came from. But I got this thing, Devil Went Down to Georgia, and the guy started chipping in, and here we went. The first thing you know, went back to the studio and recorded it. So it's that. Not a great, I wish it was a better story about that, but it's actually not.
Well, you could always come out with another one, but let me ask you this, then. It's kind of a right stuff question, where they say, well, who was the greatest fighter pilot you ever knew? And he was about to say Chuck Yeager, but he said himself. Who do you think is the greatest fiddle player, living or not living?
Johnny Gamble is hard to beat. I know you're familiar with him.
Yes.
There's a couple of guys on the opera that are Hoot Hester. It's an excellent fiddle player. The best hoedown fiddle player right now, in my opinion, is Earl White, who plays for the Square Dancers on the Opry. Hoedown fiddling is almost a lost art nowadays, because people don't square dance that much anymore on a grand scale. And some of the guys that I run into on the road once in a while, some of these young guys are really, really good. Kids ask me about playing fiddle. I say, don't look at me. I hold the bow wrong. I hold the fiddle wrong. I put too much pressure on the bow. But that's my style, but it may not work for you. No, you run your violin, teach you're crazy. Don't do it. I don't read music, so I just do it however I want to.
All right, I'm going to jam in two more calls, but folks, you've got to just ask your question. We've got to go because we've got about 2 minutes left here. Let's talk to Charles in Rhode Island. Charles, you're on the air with Charlie Daniels.
Greetings and salutations, talk show host extraordinaire, freedom friend, Mr. Daniels. Basically, this is my question. Do you really understand the real crux of the situation here? Up until 1951, 90% of people paid income tax. The government did something very smart in making people invest in the government. So, therefore, the mindset is they got to collect that check. The question is, do you understand that that's what the real mindset is? That's the kind of
song. I'll put him on hold. Charlie, he's saying the income tax is unconstitutional. We didn't get it till 1913. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I don't mind paying tax. I mean, I don't mind paying, you know, there's no taxes in the jungle, is there? I always say I don't mind paying tax, but I don't like paying exorbitant taxes, and I think we should have a lot more say about how they're spent.
I don't like our money being used against us.
I think we should have a flat tax across the board, and, you know, no deductions, no nothing. The IRS is way too big. Don't need that many people up there doing that. Give us a flat tax. We can figure your own income tax. 10%? Okay, fine. Here's 10% of this, that, send it in, be done with it.
Well, that's the big thing about the income tax is that it, you can go to 50 CPAs. Money Magazine's done this. You get 50 different answers. It's written so they can claim you did something wrong. Charlie, we've got a minute left. Any closing comments for America out there listening?
I'd just like to say I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to meet you long distance here, and I've really enjoyed your show, and I enjoyed talking to your listeners. And you're doing a great work. You know, keep it up, and just inform, keep people up with what's going on, and because there's so much stuff that you're not getting on the mainstream media. And let's fight this thing. I mean, you know, I'm here. Y'all are there. Let's just let you let your voices be heard today. How you feel. Don't, you know, do it in the local workplace.
You're
do
right.
Wherever you are.
You're right.
Let your voice be heard.
We can do this together. We can turn this country around. Look at you taking time out to fight tyranny. Charlie Daniels, thank you so much, sir, for the time. CharlieDaniels.com. Okay, folks, that's most of the Charlie Daniels interview. The whole thing is posted at InfoWars.com in the podcast area if you want to hear it in its completeness. We're going to go to break and come back with the one, the only, Alan Watt, with some key information. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Worldwide transmission continues. Alan Watt with the latest analysis on the New World Order crime syndicate operations. Coming up, Ted Nugent declares, I will either be dead or in jail if Obama's reelected. He said Obama is wiping his hind end with the Constitution. Yeah, but so did Bush. And I used to get the Nugent on. I'll probably get him on again. And he'd be like, well, I hear you, but the Democrats are worse. Okay, well, it's like, do you want 500 milligrams of cyanide or 300? I mean, Benedict Arnold was worse because he posed as a patriot and wasn't. He was General Cornwallis or somebody, I mean, respectable guy. He knows what side he's on. It's worse. The Republicans are worse. I mean, Obama's horrible. Horrible snake, duplicitous scum, filth, teleprompter reader. My point is, if you think Mitt Romney's going to save you, if he tried to be like Ronald Reagan and actually do something, he'd end up getting a bullet in him, just like Reagan did. And then a special trip to the Air Force Hospital, get some cold blood, brain damage him, and then they'd have to hop him up on amphetamines and roll him out to the public. Oh, yeah, Reagan was like anti-New World Order, giving speeches against the Trilateral Commission. He'd been a communist early on. He was reading the New American, you know, John Birch Society stuff. He was reading Lyndon LaRouche stuff. And they were like, dude, you're not the president. Hinckley's have dinner with the Bushes. You know what happens the next day. Boom. Cameron in Ohio, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
We need to get angry, Alex. We need to be mad at our own government for turning its back on us. That's what we need to do. We need to unify and unite. And it's not that we have to be on Twitter or Facebook. We have to unite and show our power outside of the controlled matrix that they condemn us to, that they put us to, that they put it there for us. We have to show them our numbers and our strength and unite for liberty, Alex. Do you hear me?
Yeah, we've all got to get aggressive, but everybody's always looking for a silver bullet. We've got to denounce the foreign banker occupation and that America was taken over. We've got to get it. That message, the truth, this isn't the government. This is illegitimate and criminal, and everything it's doing is illegal, and they're staging terror attacks, and they're bringing the drugs in, and they're shipping the guns into Mexico and Honduras and Chicago and Dallas and Albuquerque to the drug gangs. The mafia took over America. The mafia took over America, just like they did Italy. But it's a globalist mafia of all different races and creeds and groups. And it's in there keeping people in the dark, and it's a mafia so powerful they hired high-tech scientists to come up with brainwashing and brain-damaging systems. And now the mafia is like, why don't we just start killing people and transfer their money to us with the medical treatments? And they said, yes, we're going to do that. And so they're just phasing in and testing now how to kill us, that they are the most evil scum you can imagine.
I know, and that's what makes my stomach turn, Alex. It makes me sick that right now all Americans aren't up in arms at our Capitol screaming, why? Well, why are they doing this to us? Why? But why aren't we? That's what we have to understand. Why aren't we? We have to have a goal, which is life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, which should be everyone's goal, but they're taking that right away from us.
Take any right away. They can say they have the right to take your two-year-old daughter and have her cry as a fat man sticks his hand down her pants and grabs her genitals. But we expose it as pedophilia. We expose them as the pig monsters they are, the man-bear pigs they are. And we bankrupt the airlines and the system, not subjecting that. And then when they come to your house to try it, you got to defend yourself. These are the most demonic, perverted, filthy, criminal scum, and we just keep calling them out. That's why they want to shut down the web and our freedom of speech, because the truth is savaging these murdering, narcotics trafficking, child molesting, filthy, gangster, eugenicist scum that have seized our country. But we first got to call them out for the gang rapists they are.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Everybody knows now. There are very few who are in denial. Everyone knows that the governments and major banks ship in the majority of narcotics and even grow and produce them. They own the aircraft, they ship the arms in. It's all come out in the news over and over again. The coca plants, the poppies, all of it. And they keep drugs illegal so that the price will be higher, so people will have to rob your house or rob your wife or rob you to pay it, and that money goes back to the banks. Then, when they catch the low-level zombies who were on their product, they then put them in large private prisons owned by the big money-laundering banks to then work for 25 cents an hour, driving down wages and displacing your jobs. And the good old boys cheer it. And they say, I work at the prison. I work at the Justice Center. And then their own son's in there, and they're proud of it. My boy's in prison now. I'm over him, but that's a good thing. That's America. He got caught with some of them drugs. Because the only job was dealing drugs or running the prison. And that's the predatory New World Order economy. Vicente Fox, who is a globalist, though, is probably pretty sad that his ranch is overrun down in Mexico and that the criminal government down there is going to lose control. See, they've lost the war with smaller cartels. The people are so poor, they're ready to die. They're not afraid to die. Pretty macho down in Mexico. It's more people dying every year than died in a year, three times the people die every year or more in Mexico in the fake drug war than died on the U.S. side in the Vietnam War every year. It's 40-something thousand the last 3 years. 58,000 died in over a decade of Vietnam, so do the math. And so now they're like, ceasefire, let's decriminalize this stuff. And at the Summit of Americas, with all the hookers and the rest of it, with all of this going on, The news with the Latin American leaders was decriminalize. Stop it. They know Europe in some areas has done this. Crime rates drop massively. People then see drugs as a sad disease, not as sexy, associated with money. But see, the system has a two-prong attack. Yet now over 20% of the population of women or higher, men close to that, school children over 20%, on psychotropic brain-damaging drugs. And when they go haywire and kill people, they just then call for taking our guns. And then also push the illegal drugs on them. And the, quote, U.S. government, that means the big banks that run our government, that launder the money and control the Federal Reserve, they said, no, we're not getting rid of it. In fact, we're going to keep shipping guns into Mexico and Honduras to keep destabilizing things. We like it. We like it just fine. Because the war on drugs is a success. Corrupt the police, imprison the population, bring in drugs, kill the people with ODs, destroy society, have SWAT teams busting houses, kill people, kill people's dogs, kill insurance salesmen's wrong house, corrupt the police. You think prohibition, 10 years of alcohol prohibition, tripling the size of the mafia, corrupting police, hundreds and hundreds of millions made in those days' numbers a year. You think that was a success, prohibition for the mafia? Or was it a failure? Oh, no, don't make alcohol illegal. That you just made it criminals' domain. The government, the feds deal with child molestation rules and kidnapping rules because they publicly run most of the child kidnapping. They'll make a big deal out of some lone scumbag, but when they're loading little kids on C-130s to be flown to Saudi Arabia to have their heads beat in with claw hammers and snuff film with shotgun blast to the head, you know what? It comes out. Italian news reports it. German news reports it. They fire the people that report it. Not because they were wrong, but because U.S. government officials are involved. You got people that like to beat little kids' heads in with hammers after they rape them. That's who runs the world. Okay? And go look into what I just said, by the way. You're going to be like, that's a true story? Oh, yeah. Would you like to hear more? It's kind of like Starship Troopers on the news. Would you like to hear more? We take you now to Klandethu. We take you now to the planet Earth, where the crazy people run things. The New World Order is insane. And I want to bring this up to top researcher. He's a great researcher, Alan Watt, musician, author, radio host in his own right, cuttingthematrix.com. I want to get him on with us and out of the gates hear what he has to say today. Maybe hold him a little bit in the next hour and take some calls. But I wanted to get Alan on today to bring up this point because I have a theory, but it's not really a theory. It's kind of like I have a theory that crawdads come up to the edge of the water and hunt little frogs and things. Little crawdads, little freshwater lobsters, little freshwater crustaceans. It's not a theory. I watch them do it. I don't have a theory that ducks fly south in the winter and back north in the spring. I know it. And I've studied elites. It's like a tropism. In every case, going back to the beginnings of civilization, every culture built pyramids and sacrificed children on top of them every day. Every culture ate children. Every culture tortured people. What is that? That's what cultures always end in. Is it, because psychopath, inbred, crazy people keep inbreeding. They're the ones that are like cancer. They're willing to do whatever to have power. They lust after it. And then something happens. They interbreed, which in every mammal species causes crazy behavior, antisocial behavior, megalomania, aggression, a sense of psycho domination, masochistic bloodlust, bloodthirst. Every culture, study history. But then something worse happens. Syphilis has been with humans as long as we've been on this planet. Syphilis basically is microscopic worms that eat your brain. And almost all elites that have been studied had syphilitic brains. Pharaohs, mafia dons, British royalty. Jack the Ripper, the crown prince, running around killing people. So you've got syphilitic brains interbreeding with aggressive dominant people, creating hyper-psychopathic, blood-drinking goblin creatures, basically. That's what the New World Order is. That's why they do this. Why does a spider spin a certain web? Why does a squirrel bury nuts? It's inbred into them. Normal, wholesome people are blind to this because it's so alien. if we can ever admit and discover this historically, we wouldn't be doomed to repeat it. All right, I take you now to Canada and Alan Watt joining us. Alan, what do you think of my statements and what do you think of the point I made with the inbreeding and the syphilitic brain overlay?
Oh, it's pretty accurate. Even Lenin, they found out the left part of his brain was pretty well eaten away when he died. And of course, it was insane, basically, for the last few months. So it's a very common thing, but it really turns up in the second and third generation of elite where they might all start off as gangsters or robbers or murderers, probably all of them, in fact. And in the third generation, you get the education come along, and they start to form their clubs. And then they discuss the normal topics, like why are we so different from all the peasants that we rule over? And they come up with their own theories. And what they came up with, of course, is there's always been slavery. It's a natural thing. Slavery is a natural thing. And the peasants are always in a different mindset than we are, because we're the leisure class. And we have time to think about things, but the peasant doesn't. And then, of course, the fourth generation comes along, and then they say, well, the peasant actually can't think about that. He's actually inferior. He's low IQ. And this goes on for many, many generations, and until you hit the present time. Today, you're ruled by the same descendants that have been here for an awful long time.
And again, if you study the royalty, the Rothschilds, all of them, generally half the offspring are locked up in asylums. That's the half that survived. Generally, about half die. And then of the half that live, half are criminally insane, literally acting like monkeys. And then the other half are just psychopathic control freaks.
The control freaks, but you must remember, too, these characters, like the Rothschilds, belong to their own secret societies. And they have them. And Benjamin Franklin, in fact, joined a couple of them, in fact.
Hellfire Club, yeah.
Yeah, and one in France, too, the Nine Sisters Lodge. And he lived the same kind of lifestyle as he did over in France. When you see how much he was given per month by the French government and the mansion he put him up in, and the parties, he had endless parties and all the top women of the day, etc. He actually enjoyed that lifestyle. But the thing is, corruption has always ruled the world. Charles Galton Darwin said the same thing, and he was another inbred descended from Charles Darwin, related to the Huxleys. Of course, all the top names are all related together. And he said there's always been slavery in one form or another. And of course, democracy is another form of it. It's a disguised slavery, and it with income taxes, etc., and property taxes. And he says, we are in the process of creating a more efficient form of slavery. That was in the 1950s. Well, you were seeing the birth pangs as they go through all, training the public to be terrified, because they use the Soviet system as well, by the way. And we were supposed to be under the threat of power being used against us. It works very effectively. As I say, it worked terribly well in the Soviet Union. And the kill method here isn't taking you at the moment into the streets and shooting you. The kill method is, of course, as you mentioned earlier, is to do with giving you cancers and various diseases that you're never fully 100% fit. Nobody today is. You can't be with inoculations and the poisoned foods, etc. The elite don't get those injections. They don't eat the food.
And by the way, they brag about how they do it, but when you tell the general public about this, they're like, oh, that's scary. I just decide that isn't true. And the elites say, see, we openly admit we're killing them, and they don't care. And the mothers are like, that's right, I'm taking my kid in to give him a cancer shot right now. And then the mother will get attention when their kid dies a horrible death of cancer. And that, at the end of the day, is really what matters. It's like, gee, can my kid get cancer so I can buy him the cancer Barbie? That's what they really want. Watt is our guest. We'll open the phones up for those that are holding. You can talk about any issue. But we're discussing total control freaks who enjoy hurting the natural order. They want to be God. They're trying to overthrow the natural creation. Ugliness is beautiful to them. Alan, you were getting into their admissions. And what's incredible is we've posted all these documents. You've covered it. They admit they're putting cancer viruses in the vaccines. We have videos of the inventors of some of the biggest vaccines joking about killing hundreds of millions and laughing on PBS. And you talk to trendies and they go, well, there are too many people. And I'm like, listen, you maggot, you're being injected too. The GMO's for you. And they're like, whatever. It's like they think if they decide they've joined it, it's like they're on the team, even though they're being destroyed by it. And that's part of the mind control. Alan Watt, continue.
Yeah, that's all part of the education. In fact, to get at school in social sciences, there's many names for it. There's really a new indoctrination into the value of life. What is the value of life? Are we more important than those guys over in Sub-Sahara or wherever? And they've already indoctrinated a whole bunch into that death is good. Orwell mentioned this too, not Orwell, but Huxley in Brave New World, where the children are brought round the dying, and it's a big party time. And now, of course, we're getting into euthanasia now. They've already been prepared for it. A whole generation is prepared that death is all right, and we should just celebrate it. And from then it goes on to, well, why don't we just kill them off earlier? There's too many people, or the pensioners will take all the money. It's going to cost a fortune to keep them going. Why not just use the money for us? And this is all happening right now as we speak, and no one really understands how it's all connected. We live through a plan. Everything from government is still the same part, the same of the long-term agenda, depopulation, a Sovietized world. Technically, that's what it is. It's a Sovietized world, where right now they haven't bludgeoned everybody to death that they don't like. They're simply doing the soft kill and bringing down the populations globally. And whenever these third world countries sign on to the United Nations and the bubbles they give them, the bubbles are awfully good. We've had it used on ourselves at one time, a long time ago. And they take the bubbles and then they take the injections from the World Health Organization, and immediately they've got fertility problems. And they have very early cancer onsets, and especially in women too. It disrupts our whole hormonal system. Males as well turn into females almost. And that's the bisphenols, the estrogens. They've known about the bisphenols since the late 1800s when they first discovered them. They knew what it did to the public then. And they waited till the 1950s to put it into the plastic bottles, plastic pipes. Everything's plastic. And only you're getting a good daily dose of it wherever you happen to be. So you're under full-scale attack. And you've got to understand, this is not a happenstance thing from one president or prime minister to the other. That there's not a difference between any president or prime minister. They've all belonged to the same organization worldwide since the late 1800s. And that's what Carl Quigley talked about in his book, Tragedy and Hope. So it's hard for most folk to think that that can continue, but it does. You've got to understand how long the Soviet system lasted. Look, it took 100 years to plan the takeover by the Bolsheviks, 100 years before even the first revolution in Russia. These guys are long-term planners because the world is their goal, and they work intergenerationally. They employ and train intergenerationally. And now, of course, with the school systems being pretty well universal, same curriculum, they're all indoctrinated from school. The education has plummeted since the 50s. And definitely the 60s, it really went on a rampage then. And the children are simply indoctrinated into socialism and groupthink. And especially in the U.S., individuality is pretty well eradicated. It's a nasty thing to be an individual. And the United Nations itself has said their main enemy to their whole agenda is individualism. It must be destroyed. So we are living through a plan. We've got taxes that are crippling the public. Never mind all the taxes on food. That they're putting a tax here in Canada across all the food stuffs as well now, a value-added tax, or GST, HST, doesn't matter what they call it, it's all a value-added tax. And we must go into value-added taxes because when you're signing all the free trade agreements, then you're allowing to import from all those countries which are tax-exempt at the import customs. Therefore, they don't want to lose that money. They simply put what they're losing onto you and make it up that way through your taxes. That's why they had to bring in value-added taxes for all free trade countries. The U.S. is told to get really hit by that in any significant way.
All right, stay there, Alan. But what you're saying here is empires don't die. They just reinvent themselves. And this is a secretive parasite Illuminati cult. that's much older than the Illuminati, that's just one of the more modern names, that understands how to control humans, that has advanced technologies, and who basically preys on humanity as a predator class, which was put into an allegorical form of the Morlocks and the Eloys.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, blasting out on XM channel 166, blasting out over 100 AM and FM stations, blasting out on WWCR 100,000-watt global shortwave, and number one on all the major metrics from Alexa to Shoutcast on audio streams and podcast, one of the number one number one in talk radio on iTunes. Now number one on Roku, everything, streaming video, prisonplanet.tv. And, you know, I get really fired up. Their conditioning didn't work on me. I read hundreds of government documents and republish them where they admit they're putting cancer viruses in the vaccines. The GMOs designed to sterilize us. The elites all have their own private farms, are obsessed with it. Wall Street Journal, LA Times won't eat GMO. The Monsanto cafeterias at their elite facilities with their scientists. Since 1999, they had a rebellion and will not eat GMO. This is the genetic engineers. That's Associated Press. The Germans, the memos came out a few years ago, said don't take vaccines. And if you want them, we have a, quote, clean vaccine. It's real. I take it personal. I get upset. Last week, we worked real late. We were up here at 9 at night. And I said, guys, you've really kicked some rump. We've reached millions of extra people thanks to your work. Let me take you out to a Brazilian steakhouse. We get there about 9:30. And there is a child obviously damaged. And I go out on the street afterwards and see people with another child that's got neurological problems. And I started crying. And I mean sobbing in front of the guys. And they'd never seen anything like it. A few times on air, I've kind of thought about something, bring up the image. Because it gets to me. This is a soft kill, covert holocaust against humanity. The West is dying. 1.3 children for every two adults. We're dying. It's painful. I'm not just some selfish idiot that wants to go, whatever, I'm going to drink beer and watch a football game. I love beauty. I love poetry. I love humanity. I love creativity. I love the innocence of my children, and I want them to have a future. And I think about how we're in the grasp of highly intelligent, inbred super psychos who base their culture on syphilitic hallucinations. We're living in the creation of hallucinating syphilitics. I mean, that's it. This is planet syphilis brain. And Hitler, it turned out, had syphilis. All of them. Stalin, Lenin, all of them, rotten brains. I mean, I now understand it. We are living in the wonderland of syphilitic crazy people. And again, even though they've cured syphilis, or the treatments for it by the 40s. The point is, the whole culture is set by that. Inbreeding, syphilis. This is what democide is. This is why leaders throughout history, right when they have total control, just say, black uniforms, mass murder, burn cities, death, blah. That's what somebody with syphilitic brain rot will just go out and start stabbing people. Well, you give people, because again, the elites are, you know, having sex with 20, 30 women, men a day. Nero. Every time I say this, people don't believe it. You can look it up in the history. Nero, they would have these big day-long parties on holidays that they had basically every week. And his favorite thing to do with all the Roman elite in his palace is he would dress up like a werewolf. They'd chain up a child, and he'd run up. You got to read deeper to the histories because the main Lamas don't like to put this in there. But he'd rape a child in public and then bite their throats out, ripping their arteries out, spraying blood all over him, dressed up in a wolf's outfit. what, Caligula after him married his horse. You don't get the full story on that. He was married to it. You know, he made it the consulate, the head of Rome, the head of the Roman Senate. He would have the high priest. You read tea leaves, or they throw bones on the ground, or they cut a bull open and read their liver. Well, he would have the high priest, and that was one of the last straws for him, read its excrement. They all announce themselves God, and that's what Ray Kurzweil and all of them are doing. Oh, we're God. We're merging with the computers. Release the GMO. Whatever happens is natural because we did it, and it's a mutation. They're going to destroy the planet. Okay? They're crazy. If Nero wants to marry his horse and rip children's throats out 2,000 years ago or whatever, or 1,800 years ago or whatever, that's bad enough. They got nuclear weapons. They've got antimatter weapons. They've got biological weapons. And they're going to kill everybody. They're building giant underground bases, huge redoubts, seed vaults, total insanity. And everybody that works for these people better start sabotaging them however you can to resist them. And I don't mean physically. I mean, you just better start resisting however you can, or there's no future. Alan Watt, can you feel the sense of immediacy? You've got the floor. What do you say about what I just broke down? What's the latest on Alan Watt? CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com's radar screen.
Well, they're definitely ready for a big cull. I mean a physical cull as well. You look at the nonsense with the Olympic Games in London. You've got a warship in the Thames. You've got guided missile systems. They're now putting snipers and helicopters to go over the crowds, army snipers. This is supposed to be a peacetime country, and everyone is literally living inside a prison camp. This is the sort of thing you expect in a prison camp. I'm a real, futuristic prison camp. This is not life for the general public. But they're training. They're using these big games, etc., to get us all trained through attending the things yourselves or watching on television. That this is the new system. Be very afraid of the new system because there are a lot of really nasty stuff to implement socially still yet. And they're training the people step by step through fear. And to be honest with you, I don't see any peaceable way out of this because, remember, Quigley said that these guys have been running all the countries in the West since the late 1800s with this particular agenda. I cannot see them giving up because we asked them nicely. I can't see them giving up if you even try to run your own guys in there into the offices of the presidency. I can't see it happening. It's never happened in 100 years. It's always their boy gets in. And so you're living through an agenda, as I say. But at the top of the tree, above even the syphilitics, you have another group who do run the banking system. Their names are generally never mentioned much in the papers at all because they're not open to the public. They're not really public figures. And they have their own particular agenda. But you've got to go back to ancient times to the present, and this particular society has always said, and Albert Pike said this in his own book, Moral and Dogma, for the Masons, the Bible of Freemasonry at the time. He said, those who will not use their own intellect to think for themselves are therefore meat on the table and beasts of burden by choice and consent. Now, that really was taught to all the elite generation to generation. That's the simple explanation they claim as to why you're all down there and they're up there, you see. You're inferior species, you are slaves, and you never complain. If you complain, it's always petitions and please, please, please to a bunch of wolves, and you get nothing done in return for it. It doesn't work, obviously. So they know they're getting to a step where you understand democracy, even this farce, I call it a farce, there's never been democracy, but the farce of democracy is to be eliminated altogether eventually in the planned society where you have your own communitarian areas like they have in Britain. They've got regions set up in the States as well. They take power away from your local education authorities, they give it to the state or even between three states. So it gets further and further away. The ability for the ordinary person to go and complain about anything, to politician or a representative or an official goes further and further away, and that trains you that it is remote until eventually you don't even think about complaining to them. It's out of the question. You take it for granted. You're now simply ruled by experts and scientists, and that's how they've already trained the youngsters today are already trained in this. They're getting that at school. It's a better way, they claim, and they can do away eventually with elections altogether. Technocracy is the techniques now we've watched in Europe. They place their own boys from the Central Bank of Europe right into countries as the prime ministers, no election. That's to happen elsewhere too, and in the States as well. I think in the U.S., though, they'll have a lot more trouble. They do expect resistance. Really, what you're going to expect in the States is just simple, not even rebellion, but on a personal level, when people start losing their homes en masse, that type of thing. Or they've been told there'll be no more private property under Agenda 21, and they simply burn your house down with you in it, or you evacuate it. That's really what's happening. So, in the U.S., there will be ragtag, sporadic, uncoordinated, non-disciplined rebellion on small levels. But look what they're ready for. Look at the ammunition they ordered in for the homeland security for close-quarter battle. You don't use pistol dum-dum bullets, hollow points, for overseas. You can't use them overseas against other armies. You can only use them on your own population. But they've got 750 million rounds ordered. What do you think that's for? What do the people out there think that is for? It's not for target practice. It's too expensive for target practice. You use the ordinary rounds for that. It's simply for it to be used on the public. So the elites are taking no chances whatsoever that anything possibly could go wrong. But it also is very ominous because you're looking at a war situation where those who will represent government, just like the henchmen in the Soviet Union, that you always make sure that, and they do, they select the guys, they pre-select the guys out of the armies, you know. Every soldier is given psychological tests on the way. And they know the ones and how many of them they can count on to be the new Soviet army in America.
That's right. And the ones that are good, they send them to fight the insurgents that are actually financed by the bankers. And it's a full spectrum dominance, false system where they just need an excuse to be in a country, so they fund both sides to create the fake war, and then the ones that like to be psychopaths and dominate and control everybody, they bring them back here and put them in command.
They do, and they've been doing that for years now. Every person who applies to be a police officer has a psychological evaluation. They don't want an IQ over 95 or 98. But they want the brute force type ones, the ones who get off on slaughter and power and watching civilians quiver in front of them. That's the type they've been employing very deliberately. Remember, nothing has happened, Stans.
Okay, well, let me say this to you, because I know they're scientific. They study every facet through the military-industrial complex. But the globalists are not invincible. I mean, give me your take on that.
It depends how you see it. Understand, most of what's happening today is through almost perfect conditioning, generation by generation through the school system, is taken over by entertainment and television, and people are pretty well perfectly conditioned. They really will adapt to almost anything. They know this by the studies they've done already. The general public will adapt to almost every situation that you...
Let me stop you right there. I was on an airplane and even wrote his name down and told Ted Anderson about it, and he looked at it on his iPhone, and then later I lost the guy's name. But he was one of the managing director presidents of one of the biggest banks in New York, and I was being flown up there to be on The View. So I was in first class with him. He'd come to Austin to visit his dad that was a retired general. And he knew who I was, I later learned in the talk, and he said, look, people will muddle through anything. Whatever we do, they'll just adapt to it, and we basically use that against them. And I told him, no, humanity will prevail. It was kind of like Winston talking to O'Brien. But, Alan, I'm going to be honest with you. There's only one area with you that I don't totally agree with you, and that's that... That they've got their act completely together. They have general programs. They've studied things. They're worried about the wild card individual. You've talked about that. But I've also heard you talk about, you know, the elite will give us leaders and the elite will do all this. Well, I know I'm for real. I know that I came out of nowhere by the, you know, going to Access TV and stuff like that. I know you're for real and not controlled. And I know so many other people in the system itself, not just independents like us, that don't like what's happening. And I I do see a bigger awakening, and I do see victories. You know, people can't believe I snuck into Bohemian Grove. They think it must have been fake. People can't believe that, you know, other stuff. Like, they think my David Gergen is fake. Well, no, they never just went and stood outside the main entrance to Madison Square Garden during the RNC in 2004, knowing bigwigs would come in to confront them. I mean, that's not rocket science to know, okay, there's one of the back entrances where all the VIPs are coming in. Let's sit here and eat hot dogs, you know, at this stand for an hour and see, and at the time smoke cigarettes, see who comes in here. Hey, that's David Gergen. Let's get him. People who sit there on the bench cannot imagine men of action. So all I'm saying is people have to believe they can take action, because I know laying down's not going to do anything. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, they know consistently that 80-odd% of the public will do nothing. And again, they've got all the statistics there. Other countries have measured it. They did it with the Soviet Union. Dzerzhinsky said at the time, he says you can beat them, you can starve them. He says, will they turn around and fight? He says, no. He says, they'll eat each other. Now, that wasn't the first time in history that's happened with overwhelming force. But the public here haven't seen that. You can read about the brutality on the occasional individual. We see them tasering folk when they're down, unconscious, that kind of stuff. We see them kicking, punching them. But again, we always take it as to be the isolated incident, you see. It hasn't happened to most people yet. And because of that, they still think it's been exaggerated when these cases come on television or the internet or whatever. It's not happened to them then. They'll actually do all they can to try and keep normalcy, even though you're going through an abnormal situation.
And to keep the illusion of law and order while they break the law.
Absolutely. At the top, let's be honest about it, they break the law all the time at the top. And so many ways. I mean, if the American people truly were American people, remember, the American person of today is not the American person of the 1950s or 40s. They wouldn't have put up with this, what's happening today.
Well, that's the hormones. I mean, that's the hormones. As you know, people eat, compared to the 50s diet, a lot healthier now, and they're a lot more obese. That's on record. They're just killing us with the hormones, and they love it. It's fun.
Yeah. And but also it's to do with a massive education. If you were ever to try and truly alter the main thing, I mean, Lenin said the same thing, Stalin said it too. You must pay your police, your military, and your teachers the best amounts of money and take care of them, because the teachers especially train the next generation, they indoctrinate the next generation in the agenda. It's not the same agenda, it's updated, just like a computer gets updated.
And by the way, I saw this article where a six-year-old girl, we'll talk about when we get back briefly, they don't let the parents discipline their children, then the kids get out of control, then they handcuff you, taser you, put you in a mental institution. It's like only the warrior ants can engage in discipline. It's ending parenthood. We'll be right back. You know, it's depressing to hear some of the things Alan Watts says, but it's better than living in denial. But I know we can beat these people. I know that if you have a total awakening by a large enough minority to the full spectrum of just how bad it is and how this is a false reality to a great extent, a false environment they're trying to complete. They're not done with it, but they're accelerating their program. And they're accelerating their program because from my research, they got behind in the 80s and 90s. Now they're trying to catch up, and now they're at warp speed. They're at warp speed. We're going to go back to Alan Watt here in a moment. He's agreed to stay 30 minutes the next hour, and I'll get to Skywalker, Christopher, Judy, Richard, Jessica, and others for your questions. For both of us, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, you can notice we're carrying two new films, Farmageddon. We've got the director coming on, what is it, Friday? Amazing film, how the system is waging war on farmers and how Big Agra is funding that to shut them down. All part of Agenda 21. We carry Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, by Rosa Corey at InfoWars.com. Also, the six-hour documentary, the Toronto hearings on 9/11, the latest info proving the inside job, amazing, by our friend and director, Dan Dix, all available at InfoWars.com. And all orders get the Citizen Rulebook, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, famous quotes. Also, Youngevity, the best products out there. Discounts for our listeners when they go to InfoWarsTeam.com and sign up to be distributors, and your purchase makes this broadcast possible. Look right here. Got my pollen burst. Instead of drinking coffee, I used to have coffee in the morning, coffee at noon, coffee at 5. Didn't give me the kick that a pollen burst with all the B vitamins, and yes, it's got some caffeine, but about half as much as a regular cup of coffee. Every other energy drink I ever had, I hated. This is full of vitamins and minerals. Will blow you away. It is so awesome. A good, clean energy I need right through to shoot the nightly news tonight and everything else. This is a godsend. I've lost over 40 pounds taking the Tangy Tangerine, Beyond Tangy Tangerine, that isn't even advertised. Isn't even advertised as weight loss. Once you get the minerals and things you need, it's incredible. So again, Beyond Tangy Tangerine, discounted and available at InfoWarsTeam.com or 877-551-1301 if you have questions. You can order on the site or sign up and become a distributor. Alan, I was mentioning this KENS San Antonio article, and then I've got another one here. This is out of 13WMAZ. Police handcuffed 6-year-old girl for misbehaving, and they said, you're not allowed to spank your kids, but we're going to taser them or handcuff them. And they're charging her with resisting and now want to put her in the juvenile hall, where she'll probably get gang raped and learn how to have diseases. What is this all about? We're about to go to break, but tell us briefly.
Again, it's a Sovietization. They used these techniques in the Soviet system. And they're training the public here to get used to it as well. Pretty well everything is happening is Sovietization. The regionalism, the free trade agreement all came out of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations is one of the main spearheads of control all of this in the U.S. and across the world, too. They run the EU Parliament. And they boast on their own website in Britain that it was their members that brought in the personal income tax and the property tax in the States and in Britain. I mean, these guys want to bring in their planned society, which they rule over totally, with peasants going back to renting. And, of course, to get the cash for renting, you've got to be very politically correct. Look at interviews. I get lots of folk telling me about interviews now. It's all PC stuff. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? It's all the latest upgrade in PC. And if you get that job, then you can pay your rent.
It's all about trending. You don't have thoughts. You're successful because you do whatever they're told.
Yeah. And people will adapt into what is politically correct.
Stay there. I want to bring up to you how HBO's pushing pedophilia now. Why are the elite pushing that? Alan Watts, our guest.